that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath to the grain field, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Behold, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and his companions? How he entered the house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, not for those with him, but for the priests alone. For have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? And I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known this, what this means, 'I desire compassion, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." And departing from there, he went to their synagogue, and behold, there was a man with a withered hand. And they questioned him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, or that they might accuse him?" And he said to them, "What man shall there be among you who shall have one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more value then is a man than a sheep? So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." And then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored to normal like the other. But the Pharisees went out and counseled together against him as to how they might destroy him. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all, and warned them not to make him known, in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory, and the name of the Gentiles will hope." Then there was brought to him a demon-possessed man who was blind and dumb, and he healed him. The dumb man spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and began to say, "This man cannot be the son of David, can he?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This man casts out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." And knowing their thoughts, he said to them, "Any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall this kingdom stand? But if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Consequently, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then will plunder his house? And he who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven man, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven. And whoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the good tree, or make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out that which fills the heart. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good. The evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation prays for a sign, yet no sign shall be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation as a judgment, and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up with this generation at the judgment, and shall condemn it because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it seven spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. That is the way it will be with this evil generation." And while he was still speaking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside and seeking to speak to him. And someone said to him, "Behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you." But he answered the one who was telling him and said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and my sister." Okay, and so we start off and he deals with basically kind of a Jewish agenda, but he's dealing with the issue of the Sabbath. And this was a holy day, but the Jews made it something so much more. And I'm sure so many times they basically added numerous rules and regulations, right? It's what we call Talmud, you know, and kind of espousing on, you know, the Torah, the commandments. And they just made all these rules, and basically what Jesus is doing, he's trying to unshackle these people. You know, the Talmud became a prison for the Jewish people. You know, all these rules and regulations that were put on top of, you know, and when it first came out, you know, when they first developed this Talmudic system, it was, you know, they wanted to know how to be more holy, they wanted to know how to connect with God more. You know, but then what eventually happened is the form became more important than what the substance was. You know, they held on, you know, the first Timothy, right? They held to a form of religion, they didn't have the power thereof. And so this is the situation that's at hand. And if you notice Jesus, you know, every time he's confronting the Pharisees on something, it's always an issue of Talmud. Right? He says, I did not come to bring, I came to fulfill the law. And so he, you know, Jesus Christ was totally perfect when it came to the law. When it came to Talmud, man, this guy broke everything. You know, and that was his intention. This was one of his master plans to come and to give a new picture, a new insight to the Jewish people. You know, and so, you know, these guys are, you know, taking grain and eating. You know, other times they're saying, oh, you guys wash your hands, you know. And he's healing people deliberately on the Sabbath. You know, people that have been, you know, sick their whole life. And he chooses that day particularly. You know, and you think, you know, maybe Jesus wouldn't want so much controversy. You know, but he has a specific agenda that he wants to break people free from religion. Right? You know, let the Holy Spirit really speak to you, right? He wants to break people free from legalism. Right? He wants to break people free from man's laws so they can really freely, right, you know, come under God's laws. You know, because sometimes man's laws will take us away from exactly what God wants us to do. So this is kind of the discourse that he has. And the key in verse 7 is that you got to understand, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice. And then again, it's about, I want something from the heart. That's where compassion comes from. Not just something that you do with your hands. Not something that you offer up. Not a bull that you kill and not some religious duty that you do. I want your heart. Right? And this is his central message always when he talks to the Pharisees. And so he continues on. He says, man, listen, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. And then he has this interlude with the Pharisees. And he starts casting out demons. And these guys have the audacity, you know, amongst all these people, and it's a major miracle that's occurred. And these guys have the audacity to say that he gets the power from the devil. I mean, can you imagine living in that time? You know, in other words, they have called light darkness. You know, he doesn't pull any punches. He just rails into them. He just lets these guys know. He says, look, you know, what do you think? You know, if a kingdom is divided against itself, it cannot stand. You know, and he goes on and it says, how can anyone, verse 29, enter the strong man's house, carry off his property, unless he first binds a strong man, and then he will plunder his house. And he says, come on, think about this a little bit. And then he goes a little deeper, right? And this is, you know, a little bit of controversy, a little bit, and probably one of the most misunderstood passages of Scripture. Probably that they're, you know, one of the most misunderstood out there. And it says, and he who is not with me is against me. Who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven man, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. You know, and I've met countless people that are faithful in church, you know, that are regular, that try to love God, and those part of their heart, they feel like they blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And they live in this perpetual guilt. Let me try to, you know, move through the minefield a little bit. This is my first one. Blaspheme the Holy Spirit. If you are a believer, you cannot blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Okay. Let's just get that out of there. As a believer, what can you do? Right? I mean, we're just going to take you out of the Scripture. You can grieve the Holy Spirit, right? This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Right, you can quench the Holy Spirit. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 19. And in Acts 5, you can lie to the Holy Spirit. Right, these are things that believers can do. A non-believer, you cannot blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I mean, is there any sin that as a believer? believe as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ that we cannot forgive them? Of course not. Right? And so blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and there's a couple of wrinkles on this, because the Bible also talks about resisting the Holy Spirit. And so blaspheming the Holy Spirit, my take on this, and this is kind of a common view in evangelical circles, that this is a person that has been presented with the gospel truth. In fact, they maybe even tasted, the workings of God in their life or in other people's lives. But when it comes time to it, there's an aspect of resisting, but this goes a little deeper, and they know the truth, they understand the truth, but they still fully reject it, and then on top of that, actually speak against it, right? And so if you understand the context here, who is he talking about? He's talking about the Pharisees. And understanding and knowing, and if you, run through the Gospels, you can kind of understand that these guys kind of knew what they were doing, but they killed them anyway. And it's this deliberate, malice, in their heart, for the things of God, and it's an absolute rejection of the Spirit of God. Right? That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And so, obviously, this judgment comes down at the end. Most people are not going to really know, if they have blasphemy. Obviously, you hear about stories of people that accept Christ on their deathbed. Which is, to be honest, which is totally legitimate. You'll find, many, many people do that. The sad part is that, they didn't spend their life, living for him. The real sad part is they went alone. They never took anyone with them. Right? And, we talked about this before, right? The enemy's got a plan. Plan A, right, is for you, to not, go to heaven, to not become a believer on earth. Plan B is to make you so ineffective that, sure, you may get to heaven, but you won't take anybody with you. Right? You'll be so ineffective in this life as a believer. Right? And so that's the last one. We can talk about this some more, and I can break it down in just a few minutes, very simple terms. But he continues on, because it's really an issue of really coming against the Lord in that. And he really begins to, even get a little deeper. In verse 34, it says, "Look, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." Have you ever, in your time, said something and said, "I didn't mean that"? Sorry, that's not a thing for me. Well, it really did came from you. And so, you could apologize, but when the speech comes, it just doesn't pull it back. It comes from your heart. Right? And so, for me, a lot of times when I say something, that I don't mean, think I mean, I recognize, man, there's darkness in my heart. We saw it, on the front page, right? Kramer, right? He was doing this comedy show, and he started blasting on African Americans, And I think he said the N-word like 17 times. This short little, 10 minutes or so. And at the end of it, he says, "I'm not a racist." He's like, "I love black people." It's like, "Come on, you're a racist, man." That stuff doesn't come out of nowhere. And it's funny, in the States, because race is such a big issue. All the, white community and everyone like, "Oh, yeah, no, he didn't mean it." And the black community says, "Hey, man, he said it came out of somewhere." The black community actually was the one that was operating in biblical terms. We say these kind of things, and even slip out and stuff, it comes from a heart of darkness. You can say, "Yeah, I didn't mean it." In other words, you had good intentions, but you still had a dark heart, right? It came out of somewhere, right? And so you got to be very aware of this. And then he actually comes and he brings the hammer at the end of this thing. And he says, "I say to you, every careless word that man shall speak, it shall wither and come for the day of judgment. By your words you shall be justified, by your words you shall be condemned." You got to be really careful of the words that we choose to speak. You guys understand, there's power in our words. There's the old, I don't know if you guys, this is when I was a kid, the old kind of rhyme, sticks and stones will break my bones, but my name is one that will never hurt me. That is the lateness. You guys ever hear that one? In other words, you can call me any name you want, it's not going to affect me. Now, we know, we're a little older now, that bones and, heal, and, you get hit and scars heal, and scratches and all these things heal, but man, words cut deep. Probably some of us here in this room have been affected by people's words, either our parents, other leaders, other pastors, you know, that maybe kind of were stupid and said stuff that they shouldn't have said. And it was deep, right? Bones heal, you know, and we do stuff, but words, they heal. You know, there's power in those words. And so we need to be careful the way we use these words, you know, around people. And then he comes and he kind of gives us this picture of the demonic realm. He's still in the one same stream of thought, you know, and it's kind of interesting. He says, first of all, there is a malevolent hierarchy, right? There is an enemy. And there's kind of hierarchy there, you know, and not all demons are as evil as other demons, right? I'm not saying that there's like Casper the Friend of Ghosts, that they're all evil, but there are actually levels of evil, right? Because he says he'll bring seven times more wicked than himself. You know, and the key there is that when you are getting cleansed, and see, this is the time. I'm not saying that demons are coming out of you during this. I'm not saying that at all. But as you're getting your life focused and right with God, you know, the key is, right, it's not, and listen very carefully, it's not behavior modification. It's not modifying your behavior in some way. It's actually filling that space with God. He says the demon goes and he sees, water, basically, right? Because what is hell? Hell is the waterless realm. And so he goes around and, you know, he doesn't find things. So he goes back to that house and he says it's kept in order. Right? In other words, behavior's been modified, but it's not been filled with God, basically. And then he says, so you know what, I'll just go back and I'll bring, you know, these worse guys with me, seven times more wicked than itself. And they operate out, then it becomes worse for that person than it was there. Yeah, so we need to make sure that during this time, as we're getting our act together before God, as we're getting, you know, getting right with Him, maybe we're letting go of certain things that we used to do, you know, maybe some habits that we had, and we're getting rid of those things. It's not just about modifying your behavior. It's about allowing God to come in into the midst of number one, why you did what you did, you know, the motivations by which, you know, that happened. You know, and things like that. You know, it's kind of like, you know, Eddie talked about, you know, drinking a lot, actually a lot during his testimony. You know, and when he was talking about that, you know, it's one thing to modify that behavior, but it's another thing to allow God to come in to those spaces in our heart, you know, that we feel like we need to drink or get drunk or, you know, and do those kind of things. Because it's a totally separate thing. Your behavior is one thing, but the motivation of that behavior is something else. And that's what God wants to take us deeper in. You know, and it could be numerous things that we go through, right? You know, a feeling of wanting approval or something. And God, you know, begins to minister to us that way. And so we know, quote the verses, you know, and we know that we should think this way. And so, you know, we got to have a stand now, which is modifying our behavior. But what the Holy Spirit wants to do, He wants to enter into that very space inside of you, deep inside of you. You know, that has you, you know, wanting that acceptance more than usual. You know, or being so affected when you get rejected or something like that. Right? And so that's what he wants to come into that space. And so that it's not just, you know, modifying your behavior, but it becomes something, you know, in your life that, you know, that, I mean, behavior actually will just flow because you're healed and cleansed from within, not from the outside. Right? And that's what He wants to do in our lives. Right? So let's close our eyes. There's a lot of different parts that we can take away today. But one I really want to hit on, I'm going to throw this fast. That's really good. And as we're aligning ourselves to the Lord again, and trying to take care of some issues in our lives, even some habits, bad habits that we've had, that we want to just allow God to really minister to us through. I just want to encourage you to go a little deeper. Instead of dealing with symptoms, let's deal with the cause. That's kind of how it's really does. And if you know that there are some habits and some things that you're trying to break and stuff, then ask God, see, Lord, where does this come from? even as the words that come out of our hearts, we go, oh, where did that come from? What dark thoughts? Now, as we deal with issues, it may not necessarily be a dark heart, but it may be trauma, it may be a real intense rejection that you felt. And there may be many, numerous things. It could be sin that someone did to you, or a family or generational curse or something like that. And ask God to go a little deeper, you know, and when He does, He'll really speak to you. Because He wants to heal you and minister you, make you whole more than you want. So let's just spend a little time today. Let's go before the Lord. Let's just ask God to just investigate our heart for a season. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for a real heart to serve God, right? A real heart to serve others. And pray that God would just really move within us that, you know, serving and, you know, this kind of servant heart is, you know, so natural. Right? But we look for needs, you know, they're out there, and as soon as we see a need, we just jump on it. But let's really pray for the hearts of servant before the Lord, that we can serve Him, serve His church, and also serve others around us. Let's just pray for our hearts now. Service. So we're going to actually be praying for this every day until we finish here. Let's really pray that God will just really have His hand upon us, and that God will raise up servants, people that, you know, will be really committed to the service, and just, you know, consider their ministries to come, you know, from 2 o'clock and go to the 11 and just serve. And, you know, so many different ways, right? Either the youth ministry or the Sunday school, or just even helping out the thing. And let's really pray that the Lord really great momentum and bring people, families, and we don't care who comes, right? We just want God to just fill the place with people that are hungry for Him, that need Him. And so let's just really pray for this launch in our service, right? Let's pray for our sister Rachel. Let's pray that she would. She's possibly starting a Tibetan ministry this year. She feels it's over her head and questioning herself. But let's really pray that God would just really open the door if this is His will, and God would give her wisdom, abilities, direction, confidence, and funding for this new ministry. Also, she just got involved in a very serious relationship, and just pray for God's word in this regard for both of them. And he also, this guy, he wants to come to Hong Kong and for 2 months. And obviously he needs the funding and the visa to do this. So just really cover her in this relationship. Also pray that the Lord really work on her discipline this year. She tried to work on her discipline last year, but didn't quite go so well. But this year she wants to get just much more serious. And she's also lost some supporters this year. And had a financial drop, and so pray for committed supporters. And she also has tonsillitis, which apparently has gotten pretty bad. And so she's kind of stuck on the base, quarantined or something like that. And so let's just really pray for Rachel. God would just really heal her during this time. Just cover her.
Let's pray for our brother John Park, and he's kind of relatively new to church. He's actually a teacher in Shenzhen, and he comes here on the weekends, and he just really needs to experience a breakthrough. God just really needs to come through for him, and there's also some very important decisions that he needs to make this year, and he really needs the Lord's guidance in. So let's just cover John right now. Lord, we just thank you for waking us up this morning, God, and just being so gracious to us, Lord. And it's already been 2 weeks, Father, and you've sustained us, and you will continue to sustain us, Father. And so we're just so thankful and so grateful. And I pray that during this time, Lord, that you would just take us deeper, each one of us, Lord, that we would go past, God, just our behaviors, Lord, and get to the root of it all, Father, and that you would heal us in that, God, and you would minister to us, Lord. We thank you for this church, Lord, and the people in it, Lord. And we ask that you would just really pronounce a blessing over us, God, during this time. We thank you, Lord. We bind our will to your will today, Lord. And we pray, God, that we would in some way glorify your son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please continue.